This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2041. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded July 2nd, Algeria, Australia, Bougainville, Brazil, Cuba, Djibouti, Ethiopia, Finland, Germany, India, Indonesia, Iran, Kashmir, Korea, North and South, Macedonia, North, Madagascar, Netherlands, South Carolina, UK, USA, Vanuatu, Vietnam, Zambia, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Algeria is relayed many hours a day via France, lacking its own shortwave transmitters, although a couple of sites have been under construction for years. Almost all of these are in Arabic, and many of them Quran, with a bit of French here and there. But Pedro Sedano in Spain points out there is 1 hour a day, which plugs into a different domestic network, the International One, which includes segments in English and Spanish. That is 18 to 19 UT, when the only frequency is 13820. So several of us were listening on July 2nd. The English segment starts around the bottom of the hour. Alan Rowe in England was listening between 1828 and 1840. There were two different segments, which I also heard via the remote receiver in Holland. The first one about a painter in history, I never could catch his name. And the second one, destination Algeria, what to see if you're a tourist in the northeast or the northwest. After that, into Spanish. And on this occasion, the defective Issoudun transmitter was in use, accompanying everything with beepery continuously. But we could still hear the English and Spanish segments quite clearly. The only time we know of when you can hear English from Algeria on shortwave. Radio Australia may be long gone from shortwave, but Ron Howard heard their Pacific Beat program nevertheless on shortwave, since it was being relayed by Radio Vanuatu, of course including its third harmonic, 11835. This was June 23rd between 0408 and 0436. Pacific Beat with Jordan Fennell. So he wrote to her about this. She replied immediately, "It's great to hear that you're able to tune in all the way in California, and lovely to hear that you are enjoying the content. We certainly enjoy being able to bring it to you via Radio Vanuatu. While it is a tough time at the moment in the ABC with financial cuts, Radio Australia has thankfully not been hugely impacted this year, so the team here at Pacific Beat look forward to continuing to bring you interesting stories." Upon Asilomar State Beach, California, Ron Howard also updates us on NBC Bougainville, 3325. June 29th at 1123 to 1152, a program in Pidgin about the importance of women participating in voting in the upcoming general election. He says they carry many such public service programs before an election. At 1201, a child gave an ID as NBC Bougainville, Malsprong Sankamup, or Voice of the Sunrise, and into news in English. And he has found a general election scheduled for this year. There are various events happening on various dates in June and August. The polling starts on 12 August, but it does not end until 1 September, and the counting ends on 14 September. And Ron Howard adds, on June 28th at 1357, enjoyed again hearing the PNG National Radio song, and he quotes some of the lyrics. "In our land of 1,000 tongues, brothers and sisters old and young, unite our hearts so we feel as one. We pledge to stand together as one people, one nation, one country." And of course, I must point out that very issue of unity is quite an issue in the current election. While we're on 3325, let us temporarily jump ahead to I for Indonesia on the same frequency. Ron Howard reports this on another date, July 1st, Voice of Indonesia via Palangkaraya, much stronger than faintly heard NBC Bougainville, between 1313 and 1318 with Today in History, 1945, the Allied invasion of Borneo, 1988, Treaty of Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. This was during their VOI English hour, parallel to 4749.95 via Jemangus Jakarta, which was very poor underneath China. And now back to B for Brazil in the Hadrescudas group, Lucio Heiser, H-A-E-S-E-R, in Rio Grande do Sul, says he was surprised to hear Radio Tupi of Rio de Janeiro on the air on 1280 kilohertz. But it went off the air immediately after A Voz do Brasil, the one-hour government program. So why are they on the air? They were supposedly quitting MediaWave. Rudolfi Grimm explains that some time ago, Tupi of Rio announced that they are still on 1280 MediaWave, but only more or less in the daytime, 09 to 23 UT, while their FM is 24 hours on 96.5. It's a clear channel in Brazil, nominally 100 kilowatts, so that opens it up for DX at night. There's only one other Brazilian listed on the frequency. Also from Brazil, Célio Romais forwards his latest DX report, confirming that Rádio Bandeirantes, São Paulo, has been off shortwave since March 2017. But Super Rádio Boa Vontade is currently active, although not 24 hours, I think, on 6160, 9550, and 11895. It pays to tune well above 12 megahertz, even in the middle of the night. June 27th at 0541, I was hearing Radio Havana Cuba in English on 12200. 20 over 9, undermodulated but sufficient. It could easily be a fundamental, but it's really the second harmonic of 6100, which is even stronger, peaking at 40 over 9. So the harmonic leakage must have been combining with enhanced propagation, such as sporadic E. But there was not a trace of RHC on its other two 49-meter band frequencies, which were still on the air, that is, on their harmonics, which would have been 12,000 and 12,290. But 12,200 was stronger than anything else on 25 meters, so something's always wrong at Radio Havana Cuba. Following up last week's news about the new La Voix de Djibouti clandestine, scheduled Sundays at 14:15 UT on 17870, Ivo Ivanov observes that it is not on the air every Sunday. It was heard on the first and third Sunday in June, but not on the fourth, June 28th, and he's not certain yet of the transmitter site. When it is on, it's in Afar, Arabic, French, and Somali. Richard Langley was also checking it every day of the week, and it was not heard on any other day but Sunday, even though its original name was Radio Friday. Last week we had news of a new IRRS broadcast on 11990, 1630 to 1730 UT on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday, to East Africa in the Oromo language. However, the name of the broadcaster is not released, nor is the transmitter site. I was monitoring this on Saturday, June 27th, via the remote in Holland, from 1626. They kept trying to turn on the transmitter wherever it is for the next half hour, but it would go off after about 1 second or less. This was happening once or twice a minute, but I finally gave up at 1700. But Ivo Ivanov, near the Bulgarian transmitter site, was hearing it from 1707, so I tuned in again after 1714, and it was on the air and stayed on the air, talking in presumed Oromo with some Horn of Africa music. We listened closely to the sign-off at 1728 when they seemed to mention Kenya, and a station name. There have been a number of guesses about how it is spelled. It could be Otsutaki or Opuzaki, as I thought I heard it. Ivo recorded this, and many of us have been listening to his recording to try to figure out what they're calling themselves. Guesses it could be Radio Udataki, and heard some English words sounding like Oromia National Unit. Then in the British DX Club, Alan Pennington says the Facebook page for Oromia National Media, Arata Biulesa Oromia, mentions 11990. So that could be the organization behind this, abbreviated ONMABO, to be on 11990 in the 25-meter band, according to a YouTube promotional film. Mauno Riddle says, I got it as Radio Arat Biulis Oromia. Wolfgang Büschel says, 2 decades ago we had some similar veiled Oromia independence clandestine shortwave radios from the USA, transmitted via France or Germany. Following the border conflict with China, India has changed frequencies of its All India Radio broadcasts to China. I guess trying to avoid jamming. They've been jammed for years. Chinese at 11:45 to 13:15 on 17595, replacing 17510, and Tibetan at 12:15 to 13:30 on 9580, replacing 9450. Both of them 500 kilowatts via Bengaluru, says Ivo Ivanov. Ivo says both frequencies are active from July 2nd. Kai Ludwig says, I assume they change frequencies in an attempt to escape Chinese jamming, or rather to see if the Chinese jamming will follow, which would confirm that it is indeed a hostile action against India. Correcting the schedule last week for Iran International TV via Armenia, Ivo Ivanov says it's no longer on 11570, but stays on 11550 all the way from 02 until 14 UT. While at 14 until 02, it's on 6270. Also, Dave Kenny says it IDs as Radio Iran International. It may still carry audio from Iran International TV, but there were lots of IDs as a radio station, heard between 0957 and 1000 on 11550 June 30th. Kai Ludwig replies, you can easily compare the radio and TV audio streams, but at 1830 the radio service is again merely the TV audio. It seems they have finally noted how radio is not just a TV program without pictures. It was too obvious how it often did not work. What are those noises? Ashmir Nan, now more about that other new broadcast IRRS is providing, on 7355 at 0330 to 0430 UT on Sundays. Ron Howard has found out more about that. A non-profit organization, Kashmir Civitas, had a Facebook posting on May 15th, saying in the wake of rising censorship and criminalization of thought and voice by India in Kashmir, Kashmir Civitas is launching its shortwave radio broadcast to speak to our people, Radio Free Kashmir. This was to start on Sunday, May 17th, and was also heard on June 28th at 0330 on 7355 by Patrick Rubich in Austria via shortwave bulletin and ADX, Radio Free Kashmir, some Holy Quran, and reports about Kashmir. The word Azad, meaning free, he, however, has not heard in the ID, but this is supposedly the English name at least. On July 1st at 14.03 and again on July 2nd, Wolfgang Büschel and I found one of the Voice of Korea frequencies from the north way askew, 13760.201, as I measured it. And Ron Howard's weekly report on the jump-around frequencies for the clandestines from South to North Korea as of Monday, June 29th. Voice of the People on 3480, 3905, 3925, 4450, 6520, and 6600 at 1036 UT, but by 1227 it had moved from 3925 up to 3930, leaving Japan in the clear, unusual for them to do that. While Echo of Hope from 1050 was on 3980, 4885, 5990, 6250, 6348, and 9100 with a Chinese language lesson. The recent new frequency from KCBS in North Korea, 3205, which seemed to replace 2850, had been heard, rather not been heard, through June 29th. Instead, another new frequency, 3250, which was parallel to 3959 at 1204. So they are still testing, looking around for a new frequency, perhaps. But still on 3250, July 1st at 1224. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2041. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com, via which you may now access updated versions of our DX, SWL, and media program schedules, World of Radio schedules, of course, and Alan Rowe's hit list of web links to shortwave stations. Many thanks this week to John Carver, Mid-North Indiana, for a generous contribution. To Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, a check in U.S. dollars on a U.S. bank. And he notes, I finally got my plague check, and I'm sharing a portion with you, just as you have shared DX tips and your radio knowledge with me and everyone else for all these years, ever since I subscribed to the print edition of Review of International Broadcasting. On June 29th, Zaharias Liangas in Greece says, checked for four successive days, and no signal from 8-10 kHz Skopje in North Macedonia. It's off the air. That's the main radio outlet for that country, Kai Ludwig points out. The now apparently closed station opened in 1970 with a 1,000-kilowatt transmitter from Brown Boveri. A replacement in 2002 consisted of 3 times 400 kilowatts for a total of 1,200. But I recall that the full power was rarely used or never. At least the latest World Radio TV handbook lists just 100 kilowatts. Sometimes we've heard a slight heterodyne to WRMI on 5010 to the low side, implying it's the off-frequency Madagascar transmitter, but at a time it's ordinarily off the air. In Australian DX News, Rob Wagner confirms this is the case as of June 15th on 5009.92, local pops and Malagasy announcement at 22:45. But his morning was progressing to fade out very late, around midnight 10 UT or after 10 a.m. local time in the southern winter. The only signal on the band except for Oz on 5055. The weekly broadcast from the mighty KBC, Netherlands via Germany, was missing from 9925 when I checked UT Sunday, June 28th after midnight UT. But tuning down, I found it on 9900 instead, with a good 20 over 9 signal, presumably still via now in Germany. Was that a mistake? There was no word of any planned change, nor any need for it. Perhaps they're back on 9925 this week. American pirate Texas Radio Shortwave tells me this on June 26th. First Mate Mr. Turkey said TRSW may curtail broadcast to North America in favor of its monthly programming over Channel 292 in Germany, or at least until the fall winter holidays. TRSW has a growing listener base in Europe and a relatively fixed group of DX enthusiast listeners in North America, so the thought is to concentrate on Europe. Right now, based on listener feedback, TRSW programs music about Texas and lesser-known songs by Texas artists. Second Mate Mr. Bunny sent his regards and 7 already issued TRSW Pirate trading cards. The remaining 3 will be released later this year. Enjoy and collect them all. 73 and ARG. When raiding ships, crew wears protective masks and practices social distancing. Always be yourself unless you can be a pirate. Then always be a pirate. I filed under Sweden, but it should have been Finland, about Tora Ekblom. We recently heard that he has died on May 27th. He was international, strong connections with DXers in Sweden and Denmark, and in his homeland, Finland. In Sweden, he was a founder of DX Friends, started DXing in 1952, and founded Finland's first small DX club. Says Risto Vehikainu in Shortwave Bulletin. More about him in the related Arctic Radio Club. Tor Henrik Ekblom, known as Tore, T-O-R-R-E, 1937 to 2020. This is by Bent Eriksson. ARC member T-H-E, known by his initials, died May 27th at a hospital in Helsinki, days after he turned 83. Private family funeral June 25th. He was station manager for Finnair in Copenhagen, and his many international workplaces included Amsterdam, Gothenburg, and Stockholm. From the early 70s and lasting many years, he was a collaborator with the World Radio TV Handbook. During his time in Copenhagen, he collaborated with Denmark's Radio International program, started the popular DX Window program. Tore meant a lot to our hobby and the Arctic Radio Club. We miss him a lot. Sunday, June 28th at 06:06, I was hearing BBC World Service with a program about COVID-19, but calling it BBC OS, or OS Conversation. What does that mean? Richard Langley looked it up, and it stands for Outside Source, apparently now a thing at BBC. Reception here was barely sufficient on 9410, relayed via USAGM São Tomé, as BBC continues to ignore North American shortwave elves. Even when the MUF does not reach the FM band, I get some sporadic EDX on the 10-meter beacon band. I've logged quite a few of those, and sometimes they lead to some very interesting websites, such as K7EMX, heard on 28209.3, June 29th at 14:07. He's in Kearns, Utah, a Salt Lake suburb. But his QRZ.com site is the largest page I've ever run across there. A huge supply of stills and videos, many political and or funny. All lowercase, it's https://www.qrz.com/lookup/k7emx, as an Echo Mic X-ray. Lots more press and discussion this week about Trump's purge of USAGM, including VOA. The story in Vox.com by Alex Ward says former Vice President Biden's campaign told Vox he plans to fire USAGM CEO Michael Pack if Biden becomes president. It seems that Ace DXer and former VOA White House correspondent Dan Robinson really has a problem with his one-time employer. Hans-Jörg Wiener points out that in February of 2016, Dan posted a CPD blog calling for shutting down the Voice of America. And just recently, Dan Robinson has put up a petition at change.org to shut or significantly reduce the size of USAGM and VOA to save taxpayer money. Another VOA retiree, Kim Elliott, replies, as the pop-up window at the bottom of the linked page says, "Join Dan and zero supporters today." Remensch adds, LOL, in the past sesquiday, there are zero additional supporters. Even if I agreed with the issue, I would never sign a change.org petition. The spam afterwards is endless, and it's generally not an effective way to do things unless you get millions of signers. Fired from the IRS, Stephen Michael Kellett says, relative to the rest of the federal budget, we spend little on USAGM. In contrast, we lost a little over 18 gigadollars in improper payments under the Earned Income Tax Credit Program in FY 2018. David Cole points out an Economist article of June 27th, Radio Free Trump, Decapitating America's State-Funded Media, the White House Takes Aim at American Soft Power. Dan Robinson forwards a press release from USAGM June 30th that the CEO, Michael Pack, has announced the acting directors of the various sub-agencies. Elez Biberaj, who has led VOA's Eurasia division since 2006, will serve as VOA's acting director. I'd better spell that. E-L-E-Z, B-I-B-E-R-A-J. And the other equally unfamiliar names are also in the release. John Filiotti says acting seems to be the hallmark of this administration's appointments. Stephen Michael Kellett replies, this needs to go up on USA Jobs. That person is the bench warmer until regular recruitment can be done. I say, at least at this level, they are being promoted from within the organization. Mike Cooper sends a July 1st press release from Republican Senator Marco Rubio. Rubio and colleagues send a letter to USAGM CEO expressing concern following recent termination of employees. The others signing it are Dick Durbin, Lindsey Graham, Patrick Leahy, Jerry Moran, Chris Von Holland, and Susan Collins, Republicans and Democrats. Signers are members of the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee, State Foreign Operations and Related Programs that fund USAGM. They say, we urge you to respect the unique independence that enables USAGM's agencies and grantees to help cultivate a free and open world. Given the bipartisan and bicameral concern with recent events, we intend to do a thorough review of USAGM's funding to ensure that U.S. international broadcasting is not politicized. On June 30th through July 2nd, we noted that the WWCR No. 4 transmitter has been missing. That's the one that was sold out almost 24/7 to Brother Hysterical on 5890 at night, 9980 in the daytime, and 7520 in between. John Jurasek explains, I checked the website and notice an explanation of why these have been offline. It says WWCR is working on a major transmitter repair. Streams may not be playing scheduled content. All parts needed to complete this project should be received by July 3rd. 7315 WHRI, June 29th at 0128. Horrible squeals were coming out of this during the Voice of Vietnam relay, making that audio hard to follow, spreading plus and minus 10 kilohertz. And still going with WHRI's own programming after 0225. But the next day it was back to normal. An FCC press release says, They've accepted for filing a construction permit for a new shortwave station west of Chicago at Batavia, Illinois, not yet renamed Jakarta. It's from Parable Broadcasting in Norfolk, Virginia, of which Stephen Bartlett is president. Its purpose is to serve Europe with religious and educational programming, as well as data content provided by third parties, and providing content for the growing DRM market. Location is 3 miles west of Geneva, Illinois, using 2 10-kilowatt DRM shortwave transmitters and a TCI 527-6 super high-gain log periodic antenna with a gain of 18 dBi. The central beam heading is 47.7 degrees. Bill Tilford and I note that Batavia is also home to Fermilab, a particle accelerator. That should prove interesting, Greg Hardison replies, so perhaps we'll be able to hear it before it even signs on. Who'll be the first to get a QSL from the future? But the prime motivation is encrypted data info dealing with stock trading, like WINB. Although Batavia, the far western suburb of Chicago, is near the gospel huckster hotspot of Wheaton, also near Aurora and St. Charles. Stephen Michael Kellott says the nearest market to Batavia is the Chicago Board Options Exchange. The new 41st edition of the NRC AM radio log is coming out about 2 months earlier than usual because its editor, Wayne Heinen, says he is going through some elective surgery and expected to be laid up when it ordinarily would have been published in August. This is an essential reference of Canadian and U.S. medium wave stations by frequency with lots of cross-references, and it's published on paper only. Three-hole punched, bring your own binder. Details on ordering are at www.nationalradioclub.org. Via DX Mid-America and Medium Wave Circle, there's a new network called BIN, Black Information Network, starting with WDFN 1130 in Detroit. Harry Smith in Atlanta says 640 there, WGST is also changing to WBIN. Ron Howard in California reports Radio Vanuatu on 11835, the third harmonic, July 1st at 0515 to 535 in Bislama, about the planned celebrations for the 40th anniversary of independence, which will be July 30th. So expect many more such programs during this month. And he was hearing the fundamental 3945 as well as the third harmonic after 13 UT July 1st when China cleared the upper frequency. Australian DX News, Craig Seeger, DX Expedition in New South Wales, reports the fourth harmonic, 15780, very weak at 0220, June 16th. Rob Wagner in Victoria reports Zambia 5995, fair at 2320, June 16th. Stronger than Mali on the same frequency until it faded at 2350, and he was still hearing Zambia as late as its fade at midnight 55 UT. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder issued June 29th. Geomagnetic field quiet except somewhat unsettled on July 6th and 7th, with ANK indices up to 8 and 3. Solar flux stuck at 68 at least through July 25th. And that's World of Radio 2041. Glenn Hauser, hoping you found it informative, and will make a point of hearing me again next week, concluding with a standard disclaimer.